I'd like to read, first of all, from Exodus 16, verse 11 to 15. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumblings of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight, you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." The evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." So I've got something really exciting that I want to share with you, but I do need some help, and I need four people to come and help me. And Olivia and Barnaby have already said they would. So anybody else would like to come and help me with something? They need to be good at throwing. Ethan. I need one more person. Ethan, will you hold those for me, please? Thank you. I need one more person. Jenny, do you want to come and help, please? So if you could, two of you could go, maybe you and Barnaby go down that side and stand in the aisle, and then you two go down that side and stand in the aisle. And then when I say three, a bit further down, and then when I say three, two, one, I want you to throw what you've got in your basket so that it covers everybody, like confetti. Are you ready? Are you ready? Hard as you can. Three, two, one, throw! Brilliant. Is that it? Are your baskets empty? Excellent. Brilliant. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Brilliant, thank you. That's brilliant. Do you want to sit down again? Thank you. You can go sit down, Ethan. You've got one on you. So, I hope you can all see something on the floor, and maybe you might want to just pick one up. Oh, maybe someone might be brave enough to read theirs out. Is anyone else brave enough to read theirs out? What have you got? Damper. Anybody else?
Hard tag.
What?
Hard tag.
Hard tag. Touch tag. So I don't know. Do you know what any of that is?
Bread.
It's bread. But when it was scattered around, they're all words for bread all over the world. They're different types of bread. And they've all been scattered, and you've all got a bit. So everybody's got a bit of bread, but you didn't know what it was, did you? When it landed at your feet, you didn't know what it was. And you may have needed to ask each other, "What is it that I have?" And that's what happened to the Israelites when they were in the desert. And the manna came from heaven, and they didn't know what it was, and they had to ask for it. Martin, please, would you put my first slide up? So it says, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given to you to eat." So they'd been grumbling in the desert. They'd been grumbling that they needed God to help them. And then God provided it, but they didn't recognize it. They didn't know what it was. So when we ask and when we pray, "Give us today our daily bread," what is it that we are asking for? What is it we are praying for? Martin, would you please put the next one up? "Give us this day our daily bread." We're only asking enough to fill the one basket. We're only asking for just, we're given just enough. We're not given the whole loaf. We're given just what we need. So when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," maybe we should just reflect what it is we're actually asking for. So I'm going to read from Mark's Gospel. This is chapter 6, verses 30 to 44, a story that you will all be familiar with. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it is already late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. And are we to go and spend that much money on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. A familiar story, and one I usually try and pick at the end of big clubs so that we can have a picnic. I love having that one. Did you know today, around the world, there are 821 million people who are hungry? 821 million people who have hunger in their tummy today. The world groaning in hunger. 26.4% of our planet live in a state of severe food insecurity. So not knowing where their next meal will come from. Whereas here in the UK, last year we made 7 million cubic tons of food waste, which is a quarter of all the food that we produce in this country. 9% of all the strawberries that are produced and put in shops end up as food waste. And 19% of all lettuces, which I think probably out of my fridge accounts for quite a lot of those. But I think what that illustrates is that we produce more than enough food for our needs, but just not enough for our greed. If you look on the Trestle Trust website, last year 1.6 million three-day food parcels were handed out in the UK alone. And of that, 132,000 were in the southwest of England. So we live with poverty all around us. Why have I told you all of that? Because the scale is enormous. Hunger around the world, the problem is enormous. Poverty, environmental disaster, and the list could go on of statistics of how bad things can be. And so for us, it's beyond our immediate comprehension and seems impossible for us to be able to solve. It's overwhelming. The story that we just heard from Jesus, he finds himself surrounded by 5,000 people and his disciples. It's an unplanned moment, and they are all moving and they're following him and they're all looking to him. And then the disciples, like we would, look at this crowd and think, how are we going to feed all of these people? What are we going to do with them all? It was overwhelming, but not for Jesus. So a bit of context, this story is set just after the disciples had been sent out by Jesus to go and share the good news and to heal people. And they'd all come flooding back in with their stories, the experiences of the good news, of the things that had happened. And they've arrived back full of this joy and excitement and wanting to share that with Jesus. So here is his first lesson. He says, that's amazing, but come with me. Come with me to a quiet place. Give thanks to the Father for all that you have seen and all that you have done. Find that place. Pray and give thanks to God. The boat, I suppose, could represent church for us, where he's taking them and he's encouraging them to pray. He wants them to find a spacious place to be with God. But then something else happens with Jesus and this crowd. As the crowd moves along, despite the fact that Jesus was going to this quiet place, he sees this crowd and he allows himself to be interrupted. He allows himself to stop. This crowd is more important. He stops and he turns and he comes before them. And not only that, he sees them with compassion. He allows himself to be interrupted. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, we must allow ourselves to become interrupted by God. We must allow ourselves to become interrupted by God. I don't know how you feel when you are interrupted, whether you're annoyed, whether you find it difficult. I was thinking of all the things that we interrupt our lives that we have no control over, like power cuts, a phone call, the internet not working, snow. I mean, when it snows, everything stops and we have to stop. We don't have any choice. Things that force us to stop. Are they a holy moment? I'm not sure that you could say God hides in those interruptions because God is here all the time. But maybe in those interruptions, we are supposed to turn and to look, to open our minds to God's Spirit, open ourselves to that interruption and be awake to God's blessing. What is it we are being shown in that moment? And I think if you allow yourselves to be interrupted, if you start looking for it, then it's everywhere. You want God to show you in all of those moments. Interrupt me, God, please. When the crowd gather around Jesus, he takes that opportunity to teach them. They had come to hear him. That's why they had run alongside the boat. They'd come to hear him. They hadn't come because they were hungry. They had come because they were hungry to hear him. They wanted to know about God. They wanted to gather around him. So this story is not about what Jesus was actually teaching. This story is about being available and being fed. It was an instruction to his disciples. I wonder what's the largest crowd you have been in. I went to a concert once where there were 66,000 people. And the thing with crowds, there's a movement in a crowd that you have no control over. There's no organisation in it. It's unwieldy. So perhaps that might account for the disciples' panic when they look and they think, how are we going to feed all these people? What are we going to do? It seemed impossible because they were looking at it in earthly terms. They were looking at it like we would look at it. How are we going to do this? And try and find a solution. I calculated that if all of Downton, which I presume must be just about 5,000 or around the area, if we all turned up today, how would we feed them all? And it would take 250 loaves of bread. So for a start, the co-op wouldn't have enough. And it would cost £375 to give them all a sandwich. And that doesn't include the fish that we would put in the middle. So that financial cost to the disciples would have been huge. So what do I do? What do I do? Well, I don't know. How do we feed these people? So Jesus points back at them and says, I want you to do it. I want you to feed these people. Bring to me all that you have. Bring it before me. So they go and they get it and they bring before him what they have, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus multiplies what they have. Richard Rohr says, Jesus is trying to move them on in their worldview from scarcity to abundance. From scarcity to abundance. He's trying to change the way they think. And I wonder how seriously we take that instruction. So go and feed my people, but do it trusting that I am an abundant God. When you go to a wedding, you don't go to a wedding to be fed. You go to a wedding to see the people that you love get married. And then you turn up at the reception and you're starting to feel a bit peckish, well, I would be. And you see the canapés and you think, that's not going to be enough. And you look at the buffet table and you think, oh, I'm not sure, is that going to feed all these people? And then you get called up one table at a time and your table's the last to go up. And you think, I wish I'd eaten at home before I came. But you're completely reliant upon the host. And there's always enough food to go around at a wedding because they want to give you that hospitality. They want to give you that. You are reliant upon what is given. There was always enough, and you come home fully satisfied. You ate more than enough food. So when Jesus is there on the pasture with all of these people, he is the host. He's sharing this food with them. And the language of bread, I mean, it's familiar to us, the language that we'll probably hear in a minute when we share around this table, that he gathers them together, he lifts this up to God and he says, thank you, God. Thank you for this provision. And then he breaks it and he shares it with the people. And they eat and they are satisfied. And then he hands it to his disciples. So Jesus isn't doing the feeding. He's handing this on to his disciples to do. But he is the authority of God. And in breaking this bread and giving it to his disciples, he wants them to share physically this food, but also the spiritual bread of life with the crowd. So the word for bread is synonymous with the word for food. But it symbolizes, I think, in all cultures, this life. It's the bread of life. It's what sustains us. And if John's gospel, the main miracle in that, in the middle of it, is all about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. The central miracle that's in all of the gospels. But the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible, the Jewish law, they use that word bread alongside the Torah. So for them, the word Torah meant bread. So when there are 5 books and there are 5 loaves. So in this, they are sharing, they are breaking open, they are sharing the word of God with the people. The manna that fell from heaven was this life-saving provision, spiritual bread for these people. When the Jewish people would have heard these scriptures, they would have recognized echoes all the way through. And there is another story in 2 Kings about another feeding, which they would understand. Perhaps we don't necessarily associate it with it. And it's the feeding of 100 people by Elisha. And it's this. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread, baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. Give it to the people to eat, Elisha said. How can I set this before 100 men, his servant asked. But Elisha answered, give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over. Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. So what does Mark want the gospel writers to hear? Mark want the people to hear when they read this? they want to recognise that the feeding of the hundred by Elisha comes just after the death of the prophet Elijah, but the feeding of the 5,000 comes just after the death of John the Baptist. Both are miracles that have been performed, but the scale of the miracle performed by Jesus is just powerful. It's authority. He wants them to see that this is the Messiah. Jesus is different. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. And another layer of this story, it's got overtones of Moses all the way through it. And the disciples would have known that. It's written throughout all of the scripture, this bread and this feeding and this sharing is a reflection back to Moses. Because Moses, the Passover meal is shared. Through Moses, the people were led from the waters to the wilderness. Through Moses, God provided manna from heaven. And Moses sat people on the ground in 50s and 100, just like in the story that we heard. So what are we to see? That Moses, Jesus is the new Moses. Jesus in the wilderness. In the wilderness for Jesus, the grass was lush. The grass was plentiful. There was more bread left over that could be shared and put into baskets. There were 12 baskets, and this was the restoration of Israel. And the 5,000 men represented Israel. Later on in Mark, we hear about the feeding of the 4,000, but they're two different stories. So the 5,000 is the restoration of Israel, and the 4,000 is the restoration and the mission to the Gentiles. So this comes a turning point, because Jesus has gathered together the family of Israel, and now he's turning his attention to the mission of God. And then there's another image later on of Numbers 27, where he starts to talk about the shepherd. And Numbers 27 says, "One who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the Lord's people will not be like a sheep without a shepherd." So as Jesus gathers the crowd around him, and he looks on them with compassion, gathering a new family with the authority of God, he is that shepherd for that flock. It's a new, hopeful plenty. Oh, so exciting. A new, hopeful plenty. A banquet and a feast where we are all welcome. It's a hopeful inclusion and a life-giving food. Millie, how long does that go on for? Or stop? When we hear the story, what intrigued me was that all these people had come, this 5,000 people, and there wasn't a list about who was in and who was out. If you were there, you were fed. It wasn't questioned. It wasn't with condition. It was there because they believed and they followed Jesus, and because of his grace, they were fed. So when the world is overwhelming us, when we are beyond our own resources, when our human power is not enough, when the numbers are too big, like the numbers we heard at the beginning, when our concerns seem unmanageable, when the world is hungry, when we don't have enough, when the numbers are enormous, remember this abundant meal. Trust in God's strength and not our own. Trust in his provision, because it is enough. And not be overwhelmed in a human way. We need to change our mindset, trusting in God's abundance and not be frightened of the scarcity. Trusting in his mercy, his provision and his vision. And then it's not overwhelming. Then we see with God's abundant heart, and it gives us new confidence in our step to go out like the apostles, to feed those we find without question, be sent into the world hopeful of God's promise. Then, when we find ourselves in the wilderness, we need not be frightened, because we know that the pasture land in the wilderness is green and lush. The scattered have become gathered. The bread of life is given, physically as manna and spiritually by the word and grace of God. So be hungry, like the crowd. Be hungry for the word of Jesus. I'm going to read it again, because there are so many layers to this story. There are so many ways that you can hear it. And I'd just like to read it slowly. And I want to ask you, where is God interrupting you in this? The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much money on bread and give them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Amen.